Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Acts of the Apostles, a Bible study with Pastor Arno Bessel.
The apostles had been put in prison earlier, but the authorities could not find any charge against them. Consequently, they were released. Apparently, at the same rate as the number of Christians was growing, opposition and hatred also grew. The apostles continued to do their work of announcing the gospel and performing signs and wonders. Acts chapter 5, verses 17 to 24 tells us about the persecution that followed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. The high priest, who happened to be the chairman of the Jewish Supreme Council, along with the Sadducees, who were one of the major religious parties of the Jews, joined forces to stop the expansion of the Christian faith. They were losing ground to Christianity and became jealous of the apostles. Since they held power, they arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. The apostles should be kept in jail till the next day, when further action would be taken. Although messengers can be locked up, God and His gospel cannot be imprisoned. During the night, the Lord sent His angel to open miraculously the door of the prison. The guards did not notice what happened, and the apostles walked out. God used angels, His messengers and guards of His people, and performed a miracle. The angel told the apostles where they should go to and what they should do. Around 6 o'clock in the morning, the apostles were in the temple courts preaching. Meanwhile, the high priest called a meeting of the Supreme Jewish Council, which consisted of 70 to 100 men. Officers were sent to the jail to bring the apostles to the council. To their utter surprise, nobody was in jail. The officers reported that they found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside, they said. The angel and the apostles departed unnoticed. Perhaps the Lord caused the guards to sleep, and that would have been a serious violation of the rules concerning the guards' duties. The captain of the temple and the chief priest were greatly perplexed and wondered what would come out of this. That was a case deserving thorough investigation. Someone must have had neglected his duty. What happened next? The book of Acts chapter 5 verses 25 to 28 tells us, "And someone came and told them, 'Look, the man who you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.' Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, They set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." As soon as the apostles left the prison, they went back to the temple courts to teach. The apostles were seized again by the officers, not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. The temple guards wisely avoided a riot. The apostles were brought before the council to be questioned. They had breached the clear orders not to preach. However, they did preach. The message they preached spread and became known to many people in Jerusalem. What was the apostles' response to the council? Acts chapter 5, verses 29 to 32 gives us the answer. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Scripture teaches us to be obedient to authorities and the laws. However, there is an exception. When authorities or laws forbid or demand something that is clearly against God's will, then we must obey God rather than men. God and His will come first. Having said that, the Apostle Peter emphasized again the resurrection of Jesus, the one whom the Jews had killed by hanging him on a cross. However, God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior. Although dying, Jesus came back to life and reigns victoriously. This Jesus is the Savior. By repenting and believing in him, there is forgiveness of sins. All this is not just a story made up by man, rather the apostles were witnesses of these things. They were there and had seen the events involving Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. More importantly, the Holy Spirit is the supreme witness. How did the authorities react to the apostles' statements? This is what is said in Acts chapter 5, verses 33 to 39. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the man outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." The apostles' confession of faith infuriated the Supreme Council to the point of wanting to put them to death. However, God was in charge as He always is. In this case, he used a respected and honored man called Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee, that is, a member of the main religious parties of the Jews, a teacher of the law, an expert in the Old Testament. He happened to be one of the masters of the Apostle Paul. Gamaliel took the lead, stood up and gave orders to put the apostles outside for a little while. The fact that Gamaliel stood up in defense of the apostles indicates that not all Jewish leaders were against Jesus, the Christian faith, and its followers. Gamaliel used his knowledge, wisdom, and experience addressing the Supreme Council. He said, "Take care what you are about to do with these men. No rush, no hasty decision when it comes to issues involving life and death." Gamaliel quoted examples from history, and history always leaves precious lessons. He referred to Theudas, who led a rebellion, had some followers, but was killed. His efforts produced no enduring results. A second historical example given by Gamaliel was Judas the Galilean, a man active during a troubled time in Judea. Apparently, he refused to give tribute to Caesar. His revolt was crushed. Gamaliel advised the Supreme Court to consider those examples. Then he added, "If the Christian movement is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow the apostles. You might even be found opposing God." Gamaliel's proposal, fulfilled by the growth and endurance of Christianity, shows the power of God that protects the Christian faith. Did the council take Gamaliel's advice? Acts chapter 5, verses 40 to 42 gives the answer. "So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus." Gamaliel played an important role in keeping the apostles' lives. The apostles were beaten. According to Jewish law, that meant receiving a penalty of 40 lashes minus one. This should scare the apostles and stop them teaching. They were also ordered not to speak in the name of Jesus. What was the apostles' reaction? They left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. Beating, forbidding, threatening, nothing would stop the gospel. Witnessing to Jesus and teaching the gospel went on wherever and whenever there was an opportunity. The example of steadfastness and boldness in times of opposition and danger left by the apostles inspires us to give witness to Jesus and to spread the gospel in spite of difficulties. When trouble threatens, we can have the confidence that the crucified and risen Savior will keep us steadfast in His grace.
Arno Bessel is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. St. Peter's offers a friendly atmosphere, and newcomers are always welcome.
The difficult times faced by the early Christian church did not stop it to grow. In Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, we read the following. "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. A considerable length of time may have transpired since the apostles had been imprisoned, beaten, and forbidden to teach, and the present event. Meanwhile, the church continued to grow. With growth appear new issues, which may rise to inevitable problems, both from within the church and from without. At this stage of its development, the church was entirely Jewish in its composition. However, there were two groups of Jews within the fellowship. One of them, the Hellenists, Jews born in lands other than Palestine, who spoke the Greek language and were more Grecian than Hebraic in their attitudes and outlook. And there was a second group made up of the Hebrews, Jews who spoke the Aramaic and or Hebrew languages of Palestine and preserved Jewish culture and customs. It was the practice of the early church to daily distribute food, especially to widows who had no one to care for them. So it became the responsibility of the church to supply their needs. A complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews. Apparently, the Hellenist widows were overlooked in the daily distribution, that is, in the diaconia, the service or ministry. A cultural clash and an oversight had broken out, threatening the unity of the church. What could be done to solve the issue? The 12 apostles were responsible for the life of the church in general, including the ministry of the word and the care of the needy. Now that a problem arose, the apostles realized that they were unable to carry out all the work. They acknowledged their main role, namely, preaching the word of God. Others could well serve tables. The apostles called an assembly and delegated to the lay people the task of choosing 7 men to take over the daily distribution. What qualifications should those men have? They should be of good repute, that is, blameless, of no charge. They should be full of the Spirit and of wisdom, both spiritual and practical aptitudes. The assembly agreed with the apostles' proposal. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. They chose Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicolaus, who was a Gentile from Antioch and converted to Judaism. It is significant to note that a Gentile from Antioch was included. Antioch was the city to which the gospel was soon to be taken, and it was to become the headquarters for the forthcoming Gentile missionary effort. It is also significant to note that all the 7 men chosen had Greek names. The complaint had come from the Greek-speaking segment of the church. Now those elected to care for the daily distribution came from their midst, so as to represent their interest fairly. Only Stephen and Philip are mentioned later in the book of Acts. The church elected the men, and the apostles commissioned them. This enabled the apostles to concentrate on their primary task, dedication of time to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Though Christ alone had authority to establish the apostolic ministry, the apostles could establish other offices according to the needs of the church. That's what the apostles did. The apostles solemnly consecrated the seven men to the office they were elected. This was done by prayer and laying on of hands. In Old Testament times, the laying on of hands was used to confer blessing, to transfer guilt from sinners to sacrifice, and to commission a person for a new responsibility. In the New Testament period, laying on of hands was observed in healing, blessing, ordaining or commissioning, and imparting of spiritual gifts. These seven men were appointed to responsibilities turned over to them by the 12 apostles. The writer of the book of Acts adds again the refrain, "The word of God continued to increase and the number of the disciples multiplied." Like many times earlier, growth in number is emphasized. This included priests who became obedient to the faith. Though involved by lineage and life service in the priestly observances of the Old Covenant, those priests accepted the preaching of the apostles, which proclaimed a sacrifice that made the old sacrifices unnecessary. Christian congregations today face challenges proper of current time and circumstances. If there are complaints, they need to be dealt with in an atmosphere of brotherly love. Conflicts can be resolved by sincere repentance and sharing the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Members of the church shall be given space and opportunity to serve in various positions while ministers concentrate on prayer and the ministry of the word. In the sequence of events, we are told about Stephen's work and the opposition he faced. We read in Acts chapter 6, verses 8 to 15. "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God.' And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, 'This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us.' And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel." Until now, the book of Acts told of only the apostles working miracles. But now Stephen is also reported doing great wonders and signs among the people. But he faced opposition from those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, likely Jews who had been freed from slavery. The freedmen were joined by the Cyrenians, that is, Jews from Cyrene, the chief city of Libya and North Africa. also the Alexandrians, Jews from Alexandria, the capital of Egypt, opposed Stephen. Besides, Jews from Cilicia and Asia rose up and disputed with Stephen. Notice, there was a host of adversaries fighting one man. God, however, gave Stephen wisdom and the Holy Spirit, enabling him to withstand. When people are unable to prove their point with the truth and in fairness, many times they resort to lies, plan and do things secretly. In the present case, false witnesses were hired. Stephen was accused of blasphemous words against Moses and God. Stephen had declared that the worship of God was no longer to be restricted to the temple. His opponents twisted these words to make up an accusation that Stephen was attacking the temple, the law, Moses, and ultimately God. The opponents feared that the Christians would despise the worship at the temple. The opponents sought the support of others, stirring up the people and the elders and the scribes. Stephen was seized and brought before the council. The world against God's servant. The charges brought against Stephen are similar to those brought against Christ. Let us remember that blasphemy used to be punished by stoning. While the members of the council were staring at Stephen, surprisingly they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. His face likely shone with heavenly light, which was a sign of Christ's indwelling and the nearness of God's presence. The unbelieving world hates Christ and his followers. There always has been and always will be opposition to the Christian church. However, we trust in Jesus' promise that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.